Another one of those outstanding broadcast partners, Dr. Rob Congdon. He covers the European Union for us. And when you look at our world as it relates to that end-time prophetic scenario in God's Word, you have to go into Europe because that's going to be the location of the revived Roman Empire. And Rob, would you not say with me that indeed what is happening in the European Union is laying the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire?
Oh, certainly. You can't miss it as you see the steps they're taking. In fact, many of these steps we've outlined years ago, that this is what we expect, and they've followed each one, not following us, of course, but going their path, and we've just anticipated them. So you can see where the progress goes. It'll just keep going in time. The Lord knows how long, but it will. It certainly is the embryo that will lead to that final revived Roman Empire.
And that is an exciting thought, and that's one of the reasons we always enjoy and have you as a partner in our broadcast activities here. Well, the situation in Geneva, the talks between the P5 and plus Germany, have been going on. We are just waiting to see what their final understanding of this agreement might be, if it's going to be 6 to 9 months before they have a finalized agreement, whatever. But let me talk to you, if I can, about some of the background, about some of the interest of the European Union, and why the leaders of the European Union are pushing these negotiations. I know that the leadership, I think the foreign ministers from the United Kingdom, from France, from Germany, are involved in these conversations. But what's the interest for the European Union in this? Because, as everybody says, if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, the European Union would be one of their first targets.
Well, the interest is really twofold. You're right. The one very pragmatic fact is they're scared. They are nervous that if Iran gets nuclear weapons, that Europe is within the target range of those weapons. And so that's a grave concern to the EU. The second thing is, never forget history. You learn so much by understanding the past and history, and both not only biblical history, but more modern times. The Middle East is in many ways a mini-Europe in the sense that the European nations had protectorates, or that, in other words, they were governing over many of those same countries right after World War I. Iran, Lebanon, Syria, they all were under either the French or the English primarily governing and rule, and Germany was involved in further back in history to that. So they feel a close tie to these nations, even though we see them as so different from the Europeans, the Middle Easterners. In their mind, those countries were kind of like their little brothers, and they've got to still watch over them. So they're very much involved. There's a strong, if you want to call it, family type of relationship, and that's why the EU is so involved. Both the pragmatic and the emotional, if you will, are affecting this drive for them to be involved.
Rob, before Secretary of State John Kerry flew into Geneva to try to finalize at least this interim agreement, the Prime Minister of Israel reminded him about Neville Chamberlain. And, you know, what happened as far as Europe and World War II is concerned. And everybody's been saying that maybe President Obama could be another Chamberlain. I mean, is he walking into a trap here? Do the European Union leaders see that, or are they just ignoring that possibility?
I think what we're seeing is just what I would kind of call an inherent blindness. Catherine Ashton of the EU, she's the foreign minister, really, of the EU, has that same blindness. I think John Kerry's carried on. They just, again, don't look back at history, and they tend to repeat it. And in this case, one of the things I've been noting as I've been reading their various comments and studying it is the same type of thing. They can't extrapolate past the immediate. They can't look into what could happen in 3 years, 4 years. And when you have that kind of limitation, your decisions, your arrangements, the agreements you make will definitely cause you to repeat the errors of the past. So, yes, I've heard the comparing it to Chamberlain many times. And, in fact, just today I was talking to someone. I said, boy, the European Union foreign minister, chief of foreign affairs, seems to be walking in the exact same path. Now she's aided by John Kerry.
Yes, and it is a trap, i.e. what Prime Minister Netanyahu had to say. The Jewish people have experienced it. They know a lot about this. Rob, what about a report coming out of the European Union that national governments are declining in importance? They're talking about regions, and they're talking about a new European Union treaty. Boy, this talks about what we started this conversation with, the end-time scenario of Bible prophecy.
That's right. Many times we've pointed out that if you look in the book of Daniel, you see the 10 toes, and people said those are 10 countries. And we've talked about this many times, saying that I think they're 10 regions. Well, the European Union, now the spokesman, different people involved in the European Union are starting to say that very thing. What's happening is, with the tremendous financial problems that Europe has faced in the last few years, the local regions are obviously concerned, how are they handling the problems? They don't see the national governments as succeeding, so they're looking to the European Union. And so what the European Union does is they look back. They're seeing regions instead of national governments. And so what's happening is that people are saying, maybe we don't need this middleman anymore. And so as they're identifying more as a regional thinking by the types of people, instead of the boundaries that have been laid out on a map, there's a movement to say, maybe it's time we get rid of the national government's importance. Not eliminate them completely, but get rid of them. And you and I would say, yes, that moves right to the idea of dividing Europe into 10 regions, which would then very much start reflecting the scriptures.
Well, what about the fact that then would they have to have a new European Union treaty put in place?
I think it would be kind of a natural type of thing. There would have to be a treaty, obviously, but I think that would be kind of one of toward the end steps. The pragmatic and the practical result will be bypassing those national governments. And the European Union, when they need to, they just kind of bypass parts of their treaty and jump into the direct region instead. So I think the treaty, there will be changes. I expect that. The treaty is an ongoing structure for the European Union. What you'll just see is, in practice, more and more they'll be talking about regions in terms of providing monies, help, and solutions to those areas. And the national government leaders will start saying, whoa, how about us? And they'll say, oh, just stay over in the corner. We're moving fine with these regions.
Yes. Boy, you talk about regions, you talk about a European Union treaty. If that's not part of the agenda in the end times from God's prophetic word, I do not know what is. Well, that's one of the reasons we bring to these microphones Dr. Rob Congdon, living in that part of the world for a number of years, traveling back there on a constant basis for the purpose of staying on top of what's happening in that region, which plays such a significant role in the end times. Rob, thank you so very much, my good friend. Have a great weekend. Thank you. We'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, you have a good week. Lord bless.